This is football. I'm Kevin Clark. Everybody called this Sunday boring. I don't know what you were watching. First of all, I will repeat my longstanding belief that in May, you will be begging for Browns Bears. You'll be begging for Matt Eberflus sideline shots. Yep, even you Bears fans, you'll be begging, saying, let me get some live Bears action. I'm not going to do much on Saturday, the Saturday slate. On the playoffs, we'll try to do Saturday and Sunday episodes. I won't do it. I will say, like the Steelers thing, the more I think about it, the more that I'm less impressed retroactively what the Steelers' skill is, which is taking below average or let's say average rosters and dragging them, or let's just say average seasons and dragging them up to 500, nine wins, whatever. Like, I don't know why this popped into my head, but on Saturday I was watching the Steelers and I was thinking about how they're absolutely going to continue Mike Tomlin's streak of 500 or above. They're going to find a way. And I was thinking about how, so the Final Four, I got an Uber. I was running late and I needed to get an Uber from the hotel. And I get in and the guy's like, hey, I got to get gas. And I was like, I'm really running late, man. I normally would have, but can you just get the gas? Like, yeah, all good, man. And he's got like, you know, 5 miles to go and the trip's 10 miles down to downtown Houston. And then like the whole ride, like things are like dragging on the ground of the highway. The guy's not going slow. It was, the car was literally falling apart. I just closed my eyes and I said, you know what? This guy's got like 100 rides under his belt. Look at his rating. It's pretty good. Tons of rides. And I was like, I'm just going to trust this guy gets the destination better than that, as well as anybody else. You just a little, you know, just a little bit of panic when you get there. Okay. So then I get there and I go, wow, the system works. That was awesome. I was right. And it's like, well, wait a second. Was that good? Was that good? Was that the skill? Is that you got me to the Hyatt? But the whole time I was like, is this really going to happen? Like, is that what the Steelers are now? Is just that roster? We get them to 9 wins, 10 wins, and we're all impressed. And we all clap. Like, that's not what this is supposed to be. And I think Roethlisberger, a little bit self-serving, was like, maybe the tradition of the Steelers is dead or whatever. Maybe it's over. I forget what his phrasing was. I think it was over. But I think more than anything, it's that the Steelers were supposed to, as a franchise, compete for a Super Bowl every single year. It should not be, let's see how many wins they can squeeze out. And part of that is talent. They have a lot of top-end talent. They don't have anything at the quarterback position to speak of right now. Not ruling out Pickett, but I think Denny Carter had a pretty funny line on Sunday where he said, like, he loves when backups thrive because then they get to trot out the stats about how their stats are better than Kenny Pickett. Like, trot out DeVito. Oh, he's got more touchdowns than Kenny Pickett. Like, that's not good. So I don't know what it is. I would not. There are a lot of people in Pittsburgh who are like, oh, time to fire Thomas. I saw some radio guys. I would not do that. But I'm not going to be impressed anymore and clap the next time Mike Tomlin takes a lemon season and turns it into lemonade. I'm no longer impressed with that. Uber in the car. All right. So I said I wasn't going to spend on Saturday and I spent 5 minutes talking about it. I'm going to do 5 things that matter. Maybe 6 things that matter. And within that, I'm going to end up talking about 10 teams, but we're going to have a couple of umbrellas here and then we're going to seek shade. And then we're going to talk about a couple of different buckets here. We're going to start with this. It's thing one, and it's by far the most important thing that happened on Sunday. The Bills had an identity and it was Josh Allen. The Cowboys had an identity and it was what it's always been, frankly, which is a good line helping Dak Prescott, good at everything, top five in offense and defense. Good talent along the front seven, talent along the offensive line, talent at quarterback and skill guys. What if we were wrong about everything I just said? Because Josh Allen said he felt like he didn't do anything in the class project and got an A, which is correct. James Cook carried the group. He carried the group. And I thought there was a floor on Cowboys football. right, as currently constructed and in general, because we've seen it for a number of years. Which is, say what you will about Jerry Jones and Will McClay and all those guys in the front office, they will fix the line. They will have a line. And there was obviously a huge injury on it today. But there was a level of talent that I thought existed that's the kind of loss that makes me question everything. And not to get off the Cowboys bandwagon so quickly, but like when you have an identity game like that, that's what's concerning. Like to me, watching the Cup, it's like I love Jason Statham movies, and sometimes you don't even know what the hell you're watching when it's a Crank or a Transporter movie, whatever. There's like eight of the Transporter movies, but you're like, oh hell yeah, I know what I'm going to get for the next 20 minutes. That's how I feel about Cowboys football. Is I feel like I know what I'm going to get. All of a sudden, Deion Dawkins is sending Damone Clark into the shadow realm. He drove him 15 yards into the end zone on one of those touchdowns. James Cook. Since week 10, and I thought Ken Dorsey was being scapegoated. James Cook, since week 10, 462 rushing yards, fifth in the NFL, 18 explosive rushes, second in the NFL, second in receiving yards for backs, three receiving touchdowns tied for first, nine missed tackles forced on receptions, third in the NFL, six in explosive receptions tied first in the NFL. By the way, this is all via Brad Spielberger, our buddy. The Bills had a bye in week 13. And the catch numbers to me are the most interesting. And you saw it on Sunday. But I'm sitting here saying, okay, the Bills, and I've shared this with you guys, but the Bills basically say that they want to avoid Josh Allen having to do too much. And what if there's a safety valve on every single play? Because he makes mistakes. He forces it. He wants to put the team on his back. What if there's a safety valve? And it doesn't have to be like Gabe Davis 27 yards down the field. Doesn't have to be even be, we saw it on Sunday, doesn't have to be Stephon Diggs having a one-handed catch. What if it's James Cook 4 yards behind in front of the line of scrimmage, catching an easy pass for 9 yards? What if it's that? Because we kept talking over the past month about what it means to play your best football in the wintertime. And I think we all agree now that it's kind of finding your second pitch. And I'm not saying the Bills, like this league keeps humbling us. Like I thought, I'll give you a great example. The Lions and the Broncos, especially in the second half of the season, looked like they were going completely opposite directions. Well, guess what? The Lions kicked their ass. And the Lions had the worst defense by EPA in the second half of the season. The Broncos had one of the best. They meet and oops, all that trending was wrong. But what I am going to say is that the bottom three seeds in the AFC right now are all backup quarterbacks. And there's a ceiling there. And all of a sudden you enter in the Bills, who are becoming a bit of a different team in the Joe Brady era. That's interesting. That's the I'm doing the Russell Westbrook face. That's interesting. And the Bills can become a better team because that's what happens when you have Josh Allen, and that's what happens when you win a game like this without him. But let's flip back to the Cowboys for a second. First of all, Jonathan Hankins goes out, and he was a big run-stuffing defensive lineman. And one of two things happened. Either he's the best player in football and we didn't know about it. And like I love the Jenga piece. I love the retroactive, we found out this guy was incredibly valuable games, like the best of all time. And I know this is different, but like I remember Earl Thomas went out of a game with the Seahawks, and we all knew how great Earl Thomas was. But the moment he went out, the Seahawks just forgot how to play football. It was rookie of the year type, oh my God, I'm back to being a 14-year-old type stuff from that Seahawks defense. And it was a Sunday night game too, 2016, I want to say. But sometimes you see that. And so either Hankins is the best player in football or this team has more flaws than I thought, and you can run on them. And I thought, and this is where I was totally wrong. I just talked about things that just seemed to be trending in a different direction. I thought because of the wind, it's going to be a line and scrimmage game. And I thought that favored the Cowboys because I thought they were a different team than they actually are. So now all of a sudden, this team is supposed to stop the Niners in the playoffs. I don't know about that. We already saw the proof of concept of that in September, but like now all of a sudden the team that can't stop the run is going to go against Christian McCaffrey and that team that got bullied. Like, if you get bullied by the Bills, wait till you see the bullying ability of the Niners. Uh-oh, buddy. So the Bills have a call before garbage time, so first three quarters. They called a run on 69% of their offensive plays. And James Cook, I could read you a million things. First player with 200 scrimmage yards and two scrimmage touchdowns versus the Cowboys since Alfred Morris in December 2012. I was at that game. My first year covering the NFL. And I can't believe that James Cook and this Bills team was the team that did that. 11 years. Because, again, they were supposed to have an identity. There's all sorts of stats here. And I saw midweek, I saw one of the, I think it was a Sumer Sports guy, basically say the Cowboys' run defense is seventh in the NFL in EPA per rush, but 31st in rushing success rate. It's from Arjun over there, that they were 31st in rushing success rate, which means that they were getting a lot of help from kind of bend don't break. Lots of turnovers, lots of high leverage down performances, basically meaning like they, through a combination of luck and what we would call clutch play, they were able to stop the run. And I guess the stats suggest that that couldn't last forever. But again, I didn't know it was going to happen with this Bills team. So this is by far the most important game of the week to me, because the Bills have a new identity and the Cowboys have an identity we didn't know. And Joe Brady seems like the correct guy for this team, which I was seriously, seriously doubting. But this has changed January more than anything. All right, number two, Joe Barry is not the guy. Managing a staff, so this is the Green Bay Packers defense coordinator, managing a staff is one of the things we just don't talk about enough. Somebody told me even like a couple of weeks ago that like Brandon Staley's big flaw, young guy, 1 year as a DC, rose up the ranks really fast. He was at JMU when one of my old producers was a student there. And he just didn't have a lot of experience in managing a staff, managing people under him. He just didn't have that, and he didn't have that gene. And that's a general point I'm making, is like it's the one thing we don't talk about enough. We can talk about his lack of defense or whatever, his scheme or communication skills, but we're never like, oh, does a linebackers coach like him? I don't know. So anyway, long story short, managing a staff and coaching the coaches is so important. And that's why like I couldn't be more impressed with the coaches who reliably produce great assistance elsewhere or within them. I mean, I'm weirdly impressed that Belichick gets so much out of his assistants and they aren't good. Like, that shows you he coaches them really, really well and they're actually not very good. And they're like in some weird system. You can read about it in Seth Wickersham's book where it's like called 20-20-20, where they just make $20,000 a year and just sign their life away and then they just work for Bill Belichick and then they all rise up the ranks. They all become quarterbacks coach. Then one day they get a job they don't deserve somewhere else because they met Bill Belichick. Anyway, staff management can rear its head and it can show itself in a bunch of different ways. Matt LaFleur has not figured out the defensive side of the ball since getting into Green Bay. He had Mike Pettine. Now he has Joe Barry. Joe Barry's really bad. Baker Mayfield is the first visiting quarterback ever with a perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field. First visiting quarterback ever with a perfect passer rating. It's Baker freaking Mayfield. And this is a team that a week ago made Tommy DeVito a national sensation. By the way, Tommy DeVito came back to earth this weekend. They have athletes all over the place. And what I feel like, when you have athletes, when you take like unbelievably athletic people, and I know like people are like, oh, they're all NFL athletes. Like, no, these are unusually athletic people, especially the Georgia guys. When that happens, a lot of times it's up to the coach. There's a lot of pressure on the defensive coach to unlock that. Because I mean, especially on the Georgia, like Kirby Smart is an elite scheme guy. And he was able to figure out how to implant that dog in them, and then literally, and the Bulldogs, and then let them go and produce. And if you have the athleticism, you can rush the passer. That should be assumed. And I haven't seen enough of that. The coverage stuff was awful, awful. Via PFF, they had the Packers had two forced incompletions and allowed 85% of passes thrown to be completed and just one defensive stop on those passing plays. I don't even know. Chris Godwin caught 10 of 11 of his targets for 155 yards. And then here's one. This is via the NFL. Baker Mayfield against zone coverage, 361 yards, three touchdowns, 20 of 24. And then I don't even know what the hell is. Baker Mayfield threw a touchdown pass to all four levels of the field for the third time in his career, most by any quarterback since 2016. I can guess what the four levels of the field are, but I can also guess what that means about the Packers defense. This was disastrous. And on the offensive side of the ball, it wasn't much better. But the issue is that this team was good enough with a good defense to make the playoffs and win that division. If everything broke right, Jordan Love is good enough for that with everything broke right. But they're putting themselves in position to not have things break right. I still think one of the weird things on fourth down, Matt LaFleur still calls low percentage plays. I don't know why he does that. It is maddening to watch as someone who just is a neutral. I just look at it and I say, what are you doing down at the goal line? They got bailed out because Baker Mayfield fumbled, I think, a play later. But I just don't know why they make life harder on themselves. I don't know. They've drafted well. I think they've drafted well. I think people have pushed back on that. I disagree. They've drafted well. They have the athletes. Love can be good enough. They make life harder for themselves. And now, this is one of the things, this is why he's on my list. Now we know that Joe Barry is not the answer. So, next man up. Sorry, next man up. The Bears, by the way, I'm just going to put them in the same bucket. NFC North, this was, first of all, the Bears have now lost three games where they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Tied for the most NFL history. And they got a couple weeks to go on that. The Darnell Mooney thing, how does that become an interception? That was the most Madden thing I've ever seen. Not maddening, Madden. If you've played Madden, you've seen the long touchdown pass you thought you had in your hand somehow becomes an interception. That was pure Madden. The Browns. So I just read you that stat about the Bears and how many 10-point leads they blew. Well, the Browns had lost their last 49 games when down 10 entering the fourth quarter. The last time they had a comeback like this was Brian Hoyer in Tennessee in 2014. Brian Hoyer. So the Bears are so good at blowing leads that the Browns could buck history. So that's kind of all you need to know. By the way, I don't hate this. Doug Farrar had a piece saying Stefanski could be in the coach of the year discussion. 26% of his cap is on IR. I don't hate that if Joe Flacco is what we think he is. What I mean is dealing and looks like they're going to win. We vote at the end of the season, regular season, there's a bunch of coach of the year candidates. We can do an award show thing next week, something like that. But that's actually not a bad take. Thing three, the Atlanta Falcons. Good God. I got a bunch of questions. So we're going to do questions here in a second, but I got a bunch of questions just being like, why this has to end. We can't do this anymore. Why is this happening? Old buddy Danny Heifetz says Desmond Ridder has 6 turnovers in the red zone. Most by a player at this point in the season since DeShone Kizer for the 0-16 Browns a couple years ago. The strange thing to me is that Arthur Smith, I believe, is a good play caller. I don't know what the disconnect is. I don't know why everything is so weird. If I'm Arthur Blank, so I would not fire everybody. I know everybody likes firing people. I know people think that that's not, we have a reader question about the Falcons, by the way, but I know that everyone thinks like this, they've given Arthur Smith enough chance, whatever. What I would investigate if I was Arthur Blank, I probably wouldn't need to investigate if I'm Arthur Smith. If I'm Arthur Blank, the owner, I investigate how they came into the season believing Desmond Ridder was the answer and having no, Taylor Heinicke obviously was not a credible replacement. They didn't really investigate anything in the draft. why did they, what was the process that led them to this? Was Ritter the best practice player of all time? His college tape didn't light it up. Like, what did they think this was going to look like? And why did they do this? Because entering, I don't believe that this should be a fireable offense, but it should be what's investigated. And if we come to the conclusion that it was the worst process we've ever seen, yeah, then maybe someone loses their job. But entering into the season with, and like the backup quarterback thing, like Jay Gruden said a couple weeks ago on Twitter, you know, your quarterback gets hurt, you go play golf. I understand that part. But entering into the season with a backup caliber quarterback as your starter in the league that's currently constructed is really unforgivable. So I'd give Arthur Smith one more year, but I would just like, let's form a committee, the Desmond Ritter Truth Committee. And we're going to find out, we're going to do a report. We'll do a commission and we'll find out what the hell happened with the quarterback position. Cause it's one of the most baffling things with that roster in that division that we've seen in the last couple of years. And I'm not firing everybody. I'm just saying, what was that? All right. Thing four, the Jets are done. I have a quick Rodgers take. I'm really tired, and I was on this at the very beginning. Like, I've changed my mind on this. The very beginning, I was like, well, Aaron Rodgers isn't coming back. He's doing this for attention. Like, that, I said that, like, in my head, and maybe I said it publicly. Like, the first minute that he was like, did this Achilles thing. I did this, you know, surgery that's really innovative. We're like, oh, okay, buddy. But the man is practicing, and he's making, like, the people are, he's making plays as a DB and scout team, and he's out there throwing balls. If he was doing this to get attention, I don't think it would have gone this far. I think he's doing this for himself. I think this is a guy who needed to prove he could get healthy. He could. It sounds like, I don't know how serious anything was or whatever. But what my feeling on this is, like, we've gotten very cynical about this Rodgers thing because there's just a lot of people don't like him. And that's fine. You do you. I'm fairly neutral on him. I don't have any huge opinions on him. But he's out there. And this is serious. And he's taking this seriously. And I think he's doing it because he's an older guy who needs to prove he can still do this. It is very scary to get any sort of season-ending injury when you're that old. I think we got spoiled by the Rodgers and the Brees and the Bradys and the guys the Brees and the Bradys and even Peyton Manning who were able to just keep going until the wheels fell off. Like, you don't, it's probably a very scary thing to stare down your football mortality. And I think him doing this was more for him and not to wind us up. I don't think this was to troll us. If he was trolling us, he wouldn't have gone through all of this stuff. Like, this was, he was working towards something. And if he wants to be inspiring to other people and he's calling on people with the Achilles, that's one part of it. I think he's trying to inspire himself. That was my take on it. Anyway, he's not coming back to play because the Dolphins dominated the Jets. The Jets are done. Florio said that Tyreek was not close, but it sounds like he also said that he'll play next week. This was a shellacking. Bradley Chubb, I believe leads the team in pressures this year. Had his best game as a Dolphin on Sunday. Tua without Tyreek. I mean, I can't say he didn't miss a beat, but like hit Jalen Waddle in stride, 49 yards in the air. The defense allowed 4 yards in the first half. First time since any team had that few yards since 2015 when it was Raiders Broncos. What's funny is so the Raiders were the team. They got minus 12 points in the first half. I do not remember this game. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, all right, obviously it's the Broncos defense. But I'm sitting there saying, like, all right, well, Raiders must have been down to, you know, Brian Hoyer or something. And I looked up and it was Derek Carr. Just Derek Carr turning a cool minus 12 yards. And I'm starting to trust the Dolphins more and more each week. They have an identity. I haven't seen them move off it in any serious way. So I'm just, every week, I keep looking for reasons to discount them. And like the other thing is people keep saying to me when I go on these shows, they're like, well, they don't beat good teams or they struggle against good teams. Yeah, so does everybody. That's why they're good. Like, I think that's a little bit of the, like beating up on bad teams is a skill. Like that's normally, you know, point differential matters for a reason. And it's not point differential against good teams. So I'm going to pump the brakes on that. I do think they obviously have deficiencies, but they're just taking care of business. I don't want to tell you, pal. All right. Real quick, before I get to my last thing, Staley had to do it. I called for it, what, week four? It was never going to get any better. Should have never gotten the job. The next time someone says, I have a great scheme and I can stop the run without devoting people to it, and they have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, you should not take them seriously. It's not to say Raheem Morris like can't get a head coaching job. I'm just saying 1 year with those guys, with Donald and Ramsey, and be like, well, my scheme is great. Why don't I talk about it a lot? Like, maybe we should pump the brakes on that a little bit. So he was inexperienced. I don't think he connected with players very well. He didn't have a good scheme. Like, the defensive side of the ball, he just didn't take care of that side. Like, there was nothing. Kellen Moore was a bad hire. And we talked about this. I think Sterminator was on the show week two, maybe. And we talked about it because what blew my mind when the hire first happened was they hired Moore to lead to explosive plays, but Moore's playbook and his numbers do not suggest he's an explosive offensive coordinator. He doesn't really do that. The types of routes he calls for, it's not post routes, man. It's a lot of stop routes that, like, look at the numbers. Sturm and Ted Wynn did a great breakdown of it. Kellen Moore is not that guy. He is not that guy.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, use the code OMAHAFULL. And then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must wager with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager return only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Hanna's, New Orleans. Maine, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-888-427-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, quick one on the Sunday night game. I didn't learn a whole lot. I was just BSing with my producers about this before we started recording. This game went exactly how I thought it was going to go. Lamar Jackson's throw to Isaiah Likely. I think sometimes we forget. Like, this is one of my big things about how we shut the door on guys too early. Lamar Jackson's ability to get out of a sack is unlike anything in the history of football. And, like, I always have old heads who say, well, it wasn't Fran Tarkenton. Like, no, I've watched enough YouTube video. I'm sure we're good here. He is so good, and I've done a lot of reporting on this, he's so good at just using guys' momentum against them. And he just understands where guys are going to go and kind of how to anticipate. I mean, it's very like Wayne Gretzky, go where the puck will be, right, when you're getting out of a sack. And Lamar Jackson just has a supernatural ability. Whenever I see a play like that, I remember a high school coach who told me that when he got bullied by Lamar, that he literally just like looked in the mirror and was like, what am I not doing for my young men? Like, am I failing as a coach? And then as the years went on, he saw Florida State struggle. He saw Clemson struggle. He saw all these guys. And then all of a sudden, NFL level, like, nobody can defend him. And he was like, damn, I'm a pretty good coach. Like, I feel like that. I think about that story when I see that kind of play. They controlled everything. The Mitchell injury might end up being huge. We'll see what happens there. But this Ravens team, in 2 weeks, they play the Dolphins. And I feel, I talk about this in college football all the time, sometimes you have quarterfinals in the regular season that end up kind of showing you what the playoffs should look like. And whoever gets the one seed in a, like, I don't want to play the Browns in the first round with that defense and feisty Joe Flacco. And I definitely don't want to play the Bills. So the one seed, the bye, is incredibly important. Like, it's not a stacked AFC, but I'm scared enough to where I need it. I need home field. We've seen the Ravens at home field get caught short before, but I don't know. That game in 2 weeks is the regular season game of the year from a stakes perspective, because of what it means for the, like, I know we've had a bunch of the little NFC round robin, but like, I'm really intrigued to see it in the AFC South. Like, the Jaguars should be better than this. The Jaguars should not be in a three-way race with the Colts and the Texans. This should not be happening. They have too much talent for this. Is this on Bauke? Is this on Peterson? Is it on Trevor Lawrence having a ceiling that we didn't think happened? I don't know, but they should not be. This should be have been the leap year. I was shorting them. I was shorting them last year. I thought that, weirdly, like, the Dolphins were the team that were going to take the leap in the AFC. I was correct. This was this time last year, or even longer before that. But I still think that there should have been a leap to where, like, last year was the three-way. Like, last year was the acceptable year for them being a three-way race. Not this year. Disappointing season, even if they make the playoffs.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Flynn, question time.
We're actually going to start with two questions first.
Oh, yeah.
First, Ben Panga asks, is this season boring or just confusing? And then Bud asks, not sure if it's just me, but I'm less confident in every team week to week than any year prior. Is it just parity or something more?
Yeah, so I think that there are, let's start with the second one about the parity thing, because every time there's a massive run by a team, the narrative gets undone very, very, very quickly. It's happened every single week. Every time we crown a team, it gets undone. So why is that? Number one, I think that it's a league of incomplete teams. I think that we as a media and a consumer base have trouble trusting our eyes on Brock Purdy, even though the numbers and the eyes show that he's very good. We're saying, okay, Brock Purdy's Brock Purdy, Mr. Relevant. Like, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? That's part of it. Mahomes, incomplete roster, doesn't have a wide receiver. We're still, jury's still out. And our, same with Purdy, right? Like, jury's still out on Tua, because I think there's just still questions about how much better he got under Mike McDaniel, right? Like, when does that, like, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, like, why it seems like from week to week we're not buying in and crowning anybody. First of all, the results undo themselves very quickly. Like, look at the Cowboys, hottest team in football, 5 straight wins, and now they look like they would get bullied out of the Sun Belt Conference. And so I think it's a mixture of incomplete teams, quarterbacks who are having incomplete seasons, and this is something I've hit on a bunch, but, like, we got spoiled by the what I call the golden generation of quarterbacks. Breeze, even Rodgers in Green Bay, Manning, Brady, obviously. Where, like, even like Carson Palmer, Stafford, the numbers he put up in that passing boom. But let's take the older guys separately, which is that they, I talked about Spielberg a couple weeks ago, right? Or Klassen, maybe, where they came into the league, had a million trillion hours of practice, no practice rules at all in college. They get to the NFL, doing two-a-days, all this stuff. And by the time they get old, the rules switch and they're able to play forever and they never get hit and they don't do two-a-days. Like, that was the perfect storm. That was Gladwellian 10,000 hours BS for those guys. Not BS, you know what I mean? Like, that was that kind of stuff. And I think that we're seeing now some quarterbacks, the quarterbacks are, let's say, a little more dependent on situation. Throwing in rhythm. Obviously, you need really good receivers. Some teams like the Eagles have just been off. And by the way, part of this is just injury. Like, I don't think the season's been boring at all. I think it's been really exciting if you love football. But there's also just been a lot of teams. Like, again, I'm not going to say for the millionth time, but the reason I picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl is I thought they were going to be pretty much the perfect team. And then just things go south and nothing ever recovers. So I think this is just a mixture of bad luck, modern football, baking in some inconsistencies, and just a talent level that's a little more spread out. And the way teams spend money is interesting to me. Like, it's really hard. There's more money going. Like, the way the cap is structured now, it's kind of easier to keep drafted players in-house. And I just feel like the talent spread out a little bit more. And you're just going to end up getting a damn Panthers team beating the Falcons. That's just the way the league is set up. That's how it goes. All right, Phil, what's next?
Ben Rex wants to know, what would it take for Josh Allen to re-enter the MVP conversation? Win out, big one against Miami?
Yeah, so Sunday did not help him. Like, we can't, you're doing the same thing other people are doing, where it's like, James Cook has a great game. We go, oh, good, Josh Allen's back in the MVP race. Like, I feel like we're trying to give the MVP award to somebody other than Brock Purdy. Now, maybe the answer is somebody like Lamar Jackson. Brock Purdy himself, by the way, said Christian McCaffrey should win the MVP. Something to watch. And I was intrigued by a stat the NFL put out. That Purdy completed 10 of 12 passes for 165 yards, 3 touchdowns on Sunday when targeting open receivers. He was the first quarterback to throw multiple TDs on Sunday to receivers with 10 or more yards of separation since 2021 when Dak Prescott did it. Let me ask you a question. Does that help or hurt his MVP candidacy? Because I legitimately don't know. At some point, if Lamar struggles next couple weeks, I mean, you can give it to Mahomes every year. He's the most valuable player in football, but like that's just not how the award goes. Maybe it's McCaffrey. I mean, maybe McCaffrey and Purdy split votes and somebody like Lamar sneaks in there. Great. Lamar deserves it if he gets it. Everybody deserves it. You can make a case for a bunch of people. Again, incomplete season. I'm not going to write 7,000 words about some injustice on this award. I thought in earlier in the season, the defensive player might be in the mix for it, but no defensive players put together a perfect season. But I just don't know how the voters view this. I believe Purdy will likely win because of the way the numbers he's putting up, because of the team success. It would be astounding and against the parameters the media has set up if Purdy didn't win. And I think Niners fans would have a real gripe. I don't actually care that much about MVP, but like I think Niners fans have a legitimate gripe if Purdy doesn't win, just because it doesn't seem like he's as good as the numbers suggest. So that's my weasel words weaseling out of it, but that's my take. Flynn?
Finally, Chris Roney asks, what if earlier in the year the Falcons tried to go after Lamar? Yeah, maybe the Ravens were never going to let Lamar leave in the first place, but you make them make that decision. Best case, you would have ended up with Lamar as your QB. Worst case, you would have Desmond Ridder as QB1.
Yeah, it becomes one of the most baffling. The more you see Ridder, there's always an element, and coaches do this, I think, to sort of obscure other decision-making flaws, but there's always an element of, I know something you don't know on NFL rosters in these camps. And you always say, hey, why didn't you draft this guy? And they'll say, well, you know, he's good. And I'm talking in general. So it's like, well, you don't know. I mean, I met with him 5 times and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, well, I don't know, man. I watched this guy play in college and he looked pretty good. And normally, to be honest with you, typically the people who don't overthink it have more success in that stuff. And you say, okay, this guy balled out. You know, we talked about C.J. Stroud a couple weeks ago. It's like, I don't know, C.J. Stroud played against Georgia and lit it up, almost beat them if they had a better field goal kicker. So, like, seems like he's pretty good. So there's always this element of like, well, we know way more than you. And I'm waiting here on somebody to give me a good explanation why nobody tried to Godfather offer Lamar Jackson, because every single week it gets more baffling. The teams that didn't do it should be embarrassed. I agree, you had nothing to lose. Like, I honestly thought them not offering Lamar meant they had some sort of ace up their sleeve. Like, and I was on paternity leave, so I wasn't following it closely, but you just view it and it's like, well, they've obviously got a plan. It can't be Desmond Ridder. Surprise, it's Desmond Ridder. So it gets more embarrassing by the week. I agree. It is one of the biggest what ifs in football this year. And the Ravens are very happy that they didn't have to get into a bidding war with anybody. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday with one of the best guests we can possibly have. A good buddy of mine who has been on my old show. I've been on his show. This is gonna be very, very fun. I will see you guys midweek. This has been football. Thank you to Flynn and Miles.